So I'd like to start with the inner light point and just sort of run through what it is, and then maybe talk to you a little bit about the kinds of vows and that we will have against it, and then freedom statements that will embrace it and bring it forward in our lives. For the HDP ones, we are not really mapping the excessive, deficient, all of these different things in your spiritual centers. Those are going to be more as you experience them during class, during crystal bowl sessions, as you sort of become aware of these qualities within you. You're just going to take some notes on those. You're just going to say, that's how it works for me, or I definitely have that quality of the aha, the brilliance that and being able to perceive light in that way. That's why on your chart, on your soul reading chart, those are wide open. You can just put little notes in there. Anything that you allow, that connects you to that energy. Because each of these, all 12 of the gateways, and these are, we're really teaching you about the 12 gateways. Each gateway is a gateway of consciousness. You need to be able to recognize what comes in through that gateway for you. Your gateway will only let in certain things. And so you can say, Einstein had an incredible inner light point. He had just had an amazing opening to be able to perceive and be brilliant. Now, but there may be somebody else who's brilliant in their sensitivity or brilliant in their ability to see exactly how something fits or exactly how to apply pressure to get some sort of a compliance or a win-win within a group. So each of the profiles will have a different type of brilliance. So I try to talk about many of them, but as we go through class, we'll definitely be mentioning them. And you want to sort of perceive how does yours work? What is that channel? Each of the 12 channel energy specifically that feed your life purpose and your soul's purpose. And your soul's core quality is ultimately what everything serves, and you want to recognize that you are the most happy when you serve your spiritual qualities, and the least happy when you're trying to placate your immediate needs of your chakras. Now, I'm not saying like right now I am thirsty and I'm going to get a drink of water, which will mean a little bit of dead air, but you do need to keep yourself focused on all three levels of consciousness. But what really makes you happy, what really like this coming up with a new program for the school, that creative endeavor for me, that's just, whether 10 of you sign up or everybody signs up, it's me, it's like, listen, that just creating it was the joy of what I do and what I coming up with something that's brilliant and powerful and can change lives, man, that's what juices me. So as I mentioned before, the inner light point is located in the pineal gland, and it is the point that we perceive life itself. And the pineal gland is an interesting gland because we say it's where we perceive light. Everybody's like, okay, great. So I've got this little tiny thing hanging down in the, like, three-quarters of the way back in your skull, between the two hemispheres of the brain, hanging down in the back, and it's a tiny little blob, and somehow it's able to see the light that's bouncing off your shoulders right now. And so, well, it sees it through your eyes, but if you actually looked at what's in your eyes, and where the light is actually going, that light isn't actually light inside your head. If you were able to be in there with your pineal gland, there wouldn't be any light around your pineal gland. It's really important to understand that. When you see light, when you perceive anything in a visual way, your pineal gland is creating light, creating a vision of what the vibration and that's why we talk a lot about, and that's why I love the crystal bowls. The universe is a vibration. It's a universe. It's like the universe is like one full octave of music for us, and we are able to perceive these 12 levels really, really well. And we can see through our feelings, we can see through our taste, we can see, you visualize. And so when you have, if you have your eyes closed and you taste something and say, oh, that's a strawberry, you'll immediately see red, you'll immediately see the strawberry in your mouth. Or if someone puts a blueberry in your mouth, like, oh, yeah, it's a blueberry. And you'll immediately see blue. And now that blue, that blue did exist, but if your eyes were closed, you weren't seeing it. But inside your mind, your pineal gland allows you to create life, create this sense of awareness. And so when you are thinking about how alive you are in your life, or whether you see the world as, a deficient inner light point would be someone who just doesn't see anything other than just as structure. It's like, that's a desk, or that's a chair, or that's a floor, or that's a wall, and that's just what it is. It's just, the pragmatists in life have vowed against the being able to perceive what the underlying structure of it. And then even the super scientist pragmatists that have studied all of the molecules and everything, are they're still trying to define it as something that they can just say, well, that's a molecule, and that's why it's doing that, and it's just that. Rather than, wow, it's a molecule, or wow, it's a desk, or wow, it's a planet, or wow. And the inner light point is a point where you perceive this amazingness, this almost godlike quality in anything, because the universe, there's no good reason. There's not been a scientist or even a mystic that has been able to say anything about why the universe exists or why anything exists, including why your car is in your garage or why you're, anything. There's nothing out there that anybody can unequivocally say, this is why this exists. And yet, when we are in our state of balance, and we are in balance throughout our 12 energy systems, and the inner light point opens up, we are able to experience the brilliance of a rock, of the fact that that universe, that rock, which the universe created, there's nothing else creates anything but the universe, of course, because we're all part of the universe. The fact that we have, because of our self-reflective consciousness, we can actually imagine that we're separate from something, so we can then analyze it, doesn't mean we're any less connected to it, whereas the inner light point perceives the connection, perceives the importance of all things. And so just imagine looking at a person from the perspective of this person, this person, especially imagine a person that you're in a bit of a disagreement with, but you could come from a place where the inner light point opens up and realizes that this person is perfectly guided and held at every level, as we talked about the physical life purpose, the spiritual life purpose, the chakras. They have everything, and when the inner light point opens up, you literally perceive more of their field, their energy field, their aura, their essence, this quality, this taste of them, this feel of them, than you do through the sixth chakra, which is able to sort of perceive patterns in people. And ultimately the sixth chakra is psychic from the perspective of it can feel the sixth chakra. When a sixth chakra psychic is a person who can feel at a very sensitive level these patterns within someone's energy field, these light patterns, and can kind of extrapolate generally what may happen in the future with that, or can sense what has happened in the past. And so the sixth chakra it's the mind, it's an extrapolator. Whereas the inner light point is this sort of it's at a spiritual level where everything is one at all times. And so when you open to that level, there's no judgment that this thing exists. There's just this amazement that it exists. It's just like, wow. And my existence is existing with it and connecting with it. And of course, that directly goes back to the soul level, which we're going to talk about next, where you are that thing. Whatever you're pointing at and saying, that's not me. Well, at the soul level, it is. So I just wanted to keep going here just for a few more minutes on the inner light point, and then talk about some of the vows we've made against perceiving the world that way. Because, you know, if you were to perceive the world that way as a child, and continue to do that, and couldn't focus and read words and realize that this is what this means and this is solid, and you just saw that everything was so amazing, and you would very quickly be put in a special school. And not a special school for people with open inner light points. So the idea of the inner light point that I want you to sort of take home with you is that when you see life as miraculous, when you see, and sometimes you might even say it in jest, you can say, oh my God, you are freaking amazing. But the truth is that they are, even when they're annoying you. You know, there's a quality of miraculousness to all of life. And what happens when the inner light point opens up is it actually looks and sees God or spirit or whatever your word for that is, the life force in everything. And it'll see a God and a goddess in every human being. It'll see both the masculine and the feminine, and how all of those deepest archetypes within people are radiating out of them with light, and how those, even the molecules in their body, are forming to absorb and radiate certain colors and spectrums of light out into the world. And then, of course, their auric field is vibrating out a message, an important message, a message of hope, a message of power, a message of gentleness, each energy field. And it's through the inner light point that you perceive that quality. It is that point in me, my archetype in there is my soul reader. It's that quality. When I look at people, the reason I love the profile so much is because I've always seen that in people. I'm always like, oh yeah, there's a part of you that what you're trying to do has nothing to do with. But it's the part that's going to make you the most happy. And being able to perceive the essence and the soul in things is, and the way we do it is the inner light point. The way we experience it, of course, is through our soul, and we'll be talking about that next. But the whole perception of the soul in things, and the soul of the universe, and this deeper, deep meaning of life that we can have in a glimpse, not in some rational. You can never, nobody ever, you know. And even talking about this is you know, makes me sound ridiculous. You can't. Nobody can explain the meaning of life. It's an experience, and yet there's a part of your mind and brain, this inner light point, that can actually capture it in moments and allow it to inspire you. And so the inner light point, of course, is, you know, sits just above the aha point, and the inner light point can bring this amazing inspiration, and then just links into the life purpose quality, which is just below. And that, of course, goes to the fifth chakra and the fourth chakra, and we're getting the life purpose involved. And so that brilliance sort of trickles down into the life purpose very quickly, and it gives you this purpose in the moment, and it's a live purpose. If you are chasing a purpose that you thought of 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and you're still trying to make it work, you closed your inner light point to do that. Because the inner light point is much more similar, and very much so the creative idealists have got very active inner light points. You know, it'll be something that it's like, yes, I have that calling because it's part of my life purpose, but I see it differently today. It's brand new today. It's new today. It's being created. The universe it never makes anything the same twice, and I see that. And so I can't approach this fully the same way each day, even though my intention to share my mission, to help people make permanent and lasting change in their lives, that's always going to be there. How I do it from my creative idealist, my inner light point, is going to have to do with what's present. What am I working with right now? What do I see in the world? So I guess the last point is with the inner light point is that, you know, something that brought me a lot of struggle when I was in school, because I went, you know, when I went to healer school, I wanted to do what the teacher was doing. I didn't want to go through step 1 through 1400. I wanted to jump right to the top, and I wanted to see like the teacher did. I wanted to perceive the way she did. I wanted to understand. And my teacher, as I think I've mentioned to some of you, was a very powerful psychic seer. She was able to literally look right through your body and see things moving around there. And she had backward and forward history type of sight. And it was pretty daunting to stand in front of her when she's sort of looking at you that way. But at the same time, I sort of said, well, that'll be what it'll be like when my psychic side opens up. And of course, mine doesn't work that way. My brilliance comes in a much different package. And so for each of us, our inner light point is perfectly suited to help us perceive the life that gives us purpose. And formulates the type of brilliance that we need to follow our mission, to find our mission, to stay on our mission, to you know, to really own our power in our lives. So just sort of how many, you know, I'm sure if I said everybody raise your hand that's wanted to be like somebody else or see like somebody else or have their gift like somebody else. But the problem is even if you could develop that skill, you wouldn't be happy because it's not your skill. Your skill you've always had, you've just forgotten about it, and that's one of the elements of going deeply into each of these 12 gateways. We release the vows that you made to not be who you are and wanting to be somebody else. So I'm just gonna go through before we shift over to the soul point, and I'd like to just go through a few of the inner light point, the types of vows we would make against that energy. And you can't, I mean, and it's kind of like, why would you ever vow against having that kind of brilliance? And you notice children, you know, the way you actually perceive the inner light point in people is in the sparkle in their eyes. When you see someone who's got sparkly eyes, their inner light point's open. When you see someone who's got that dull stare, you know, or that hard gaze, There's no thought process going on there. Let me rephrase that. There's a powerful thought process going on in there, but there's no brilliance. There's no connection to infinity. There's no in this moment perceiving life as a gift. So of course, one of the biggest vows we will have is to see the world the way our parents do, and often our parents saw the world very pragmatically and very in a very limited way. And if that's a vow, that would be in there, or a vow that I will only believe what I can see, or the opposite. We make the vow that everything's spiritual because my parents were so materialistic. So there's the vows, remember, can go either way. I'll be like what I do like, or I'll be against what I don't like. But the reality is that we're somewhere in between there, and our vow then blocks us from ever finding out what we actually are. That's why we have to go in and root these vows out and recognize that we've made these vows for good reason, but they are not doing us any good anymore. They are actually blocking us from finding our deepest mission and purpose in life. I vow to never see energy and chakras. That's too scary. That was mine. When I was, I don't know how old, 11 or 12 or something, maybe a little younger, I remember sort of dozing off and waking up, and I was sort of half awake, half asleep, and my mom walked in the room, and I had sort of had my inner sight wide open at that point, and all I saw her was this big yellow aura, you know, with all sorts of strange things moving around in it, and it was terrifying to see, to really perceive all of what my mother went through in her lifetime, and the way she was holding her energy and the way she was holding back on her energy. And I remember at that moment saying, I don't want to see that way. I do not want to, that, you know, no way, that is dangerous, and you know, and so I was just like, that's done, I won't be doing that anymore. And by the way, when you blink is how we stop seeing, and we start looking. So it's like focusing your eyes, really, when someone says focus your eyes, that's not how you see. You actually see by letting the eyes soften. And so practicing that, looking at the horizon, just gazing at the morning sunlight on pine trees especially, you'll start seeing again. And I highly recommend all of that. I know others better than they know themselves. That might be a statement I vowed about. I only see the function of everything. Beauty is reserved for flowers and art. That's just, you know, just that's a mental stance of sort of like, you know, you were taught as a child, well, that's not beautiful. You know, where you look at something and the little child goes up to, you know, a smelly bum on the street and goes, oh, mommy, look, the man on the street. And the mother goes, that's dirty. You know, just get away from that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, there's things that aren't beautiful. There are people that aren't beautiful. There are things. And you know, and we vow to only see the world, and we don't even know we're making that vow, but we have to get along, and we can't be being rejected by our parents in the way we perceive the world. And often people that are very depressed have pineal gland and inner light point issues. They often perceive the future as very dark. And, of course, you know, being such a psychic point, you know, someone who has really shut down their inner light point might actually be very attracted to the dark arts because they go along with the only thing they allow themselves to perceive are the evil in people. And so that's what they manifest and create. Of course, it's incredibly painful and horrible life to only attract, you know, people in the dark. But certainly, you know, there is a level of the ego level of satisfaction and negative pleasure in being right about something. I'm right. Look, all these people, everybody I know are jerks, you know, are Satan worshipers. I vow to protect myself by seeing the bad more than the good in people. And so that's another way to do it. Or the other way around. I vow to always see the good in everybody. I vow to always see the brighter side of life. I vow to be smarter. I vow to be smart and clever with my mind. And that's a real tricky one. We are taught that smart and clever, which will almost always get you an A in school, is actually intelligence, and it's not. It's really not, sadly. Those super clever people are actually, they're so clever, they've clevered themselves out of living their lives, and they have figured out how to manipulate life rather than flow with it and be with it. So clever and really smart and clever is usually a shutting down of the inner light point and an acceleration of an excess of the sixth chakra. You know, the vow, I can never figure it out. It's just life is just too chaotic and I can never figure it out. Or something I vow to spin in my head and feel foggy when I have a tough decision to make. And so maybe as a child, when you made the wrong decision in your life, you got punished badly. And so a parent might have, you may have made a vow, I'm just going to not know. I vow not to know. I vote not knowing. And so when somebody asks you now, what do you want? What do you really want in your life? And what's your life purpose? And you're like, I don't know. And that fog, you know, that's sort of like, I don't know. What would it even look like? I don't, am I even living it? And that fog that sort of fills your brain instead of the brilliant clarity of pure spiritual light that would shine on everything and awaken is then put into a fog. It creates a foggy type of a material in your head. So the freedom statements, I'll just read a few of the freedom statements for the inner light point that you may want to consider would be, I am open to looking at both the physical parts of life and the underlying life that is in all things, even rocks. I see God hiding in every atom of reality, brilliantly connecting and creating the universe and life as we know it. My guiding light is standing in front of me and beams back at me when I look into the mirror or in the eyes of a friend. I see the world and universe as life itself, not as separate from me, but part of me. Life and I are one. My mind is brilliant and playful in all its activities. I can see and feel that I am made of light. I am open to seeing the world or others as forever creatively changing and never the same twice. I am open to seeing the divine in all things. I am open to my own flavor of genius. That's a really important one, folks. Every one of you is a genius. I know. My older brother always told me, you're a freaking genius. But the truth is, you are. And you have got to define what that is, because that genius can change the world. And you have been guided throughout your life, through every one of the 12 energy centers, the 12 gateways, to find that genius, to be called to that. I see my own soul and its connection to all things in the simplest moments. So often we want that big event, the thing happens, we get, you know, you write a book, you know, getting my book publisher, doing something, you know, all that sort of, like, that's going to be it, that'll be the big, the soul connection, and almost always those events go by almost unnoticed, even though there's sort of like a inner kind of like, wow, that's great, but it's the subtle, it's the quiet moment when you weren't really doing anything other than just being part of the flow of life that you realize that sort of inner brilliance and how you are contributing by being you, not by doing what you do. Even though you are, if you're able to be fully being who you are, what you do has much more powerful impact, and that's the whole premise of our school. Whether you're a healer or whether you're a stockbroker or a lawyer or or at home dad or mom, whatever you are, when you bring your brilliance to it, when you bring your inner brilliance to it, your soul,